today on Building on the Solid Rock with Pastor Troy Neely.
The home that has truly been built on the solid foundation of God's Word, that home stands. I mean, you get some damage for sure. It's a storm. But it stands. It's unshaken. It doesn't crumble and fall apart. But the home, I might say the life, that is built on a mixture of things. Yeah, there's some truth, but there's a lot of sand to supplement, or just sand completely. It's shown, because when the difficulties come, when the trials come, it's exposed, because it shifts, it sinks, it crumbles, it falls apart.
Deeper and deeper.
Today you'll hear about the parable of the seeds. Of all the seeds Jesus spoke of, only one of the four turned out to be fruitful. When you look at the world and think how it seems there are so few believers, it's because there are. The Bible tells us many will seek, but only a few will enter. Which seed will you be? Now, make sure and stay with us after Pastor Troy's message. I want to share our contact information with you, as well as how you can receive a free copy of today's broadcast. Now, open your Bibles to the book of 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6, as we join Pastor Troy for our continuing study entitled, How's Your Spiritual Hearing?
And Scripture begins to transform your heart and begins to make sense. The Word of God begins to convict, to challenge you and change you. These are the ones who were thrown into the stony ground. There was no root. So when the trials came, this group went away. They left. They dropped everything and were gone. Here's the point of this portion of the parable. Trials and persecution, they're going to come for saved and unsaved alike. The rains come on both. But they prove the genuineness of your faith. We need them. Peter puts it very well, 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 6 through 9. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom, having not seen, you love. Though now you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Because you were rooted. You didn't die, you didn't wither, you weren't gone. You were there. Oh, it was tough. Some plants don't look pretty after the storm, but they continue to grow. They grow. They grow again. Abraham is a sure example of one of God's own being tested. God told Abraham, take your son, your only son whom you love. You need to take him and offer him up. His son had become a little too important to him. And so Abraham's faith was demonstrated in the fact that he was willing to do whatever God wanted, whatever sacrifice God wanted. You know, a sacrifice is a sacrifice because it's hard. I can look at every one of you and I can understand that the thing God's asking you to do is hard. It's a sacrifice. That's why it requires faith. And listen, the changes in your life are going to happen only as a result of your willingness to trust God. Let Him have that place in your heart. To let your roots through the difficulties to be established and rooted. Lest you just be surface level. Come and go. We don't need that. In the church, the world needs to see Christians who endure the trials, who endure the storms, the persecutions. And that's what we're called to do. And that's what we're called to be. That's why He's given us the Holy Spirit to enable us to do those things. We need the trials for our own good, and the world needs us to have the trials because they're watching us. Anyone can endure in a system or even a religion where when it's going well, we can say, amen, God's good, praise be the Lord. But when things are difficult, when things aren't in order, when catastrophe strikes, then what will they see? They need to see something different. That's the faith that God's wanting to build in us, and that's why we need the trials. So that's the stony ground. Trials blew them away, just took them away. Verse 22, now he who received seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he became unfruitful. Weeds grow naturally. I don't have to plant weeds in my backyard. They just grow. I've never bought a weed. I don't know where they come from, but they grow. You don't have to plant them. You don't have to tend them. You don't have to love them. You don't even have to talk nice to them. I know some people love to talk nice to their plants, and they say that's helpful for them. Not for weeds. They just grow wherever. And talking bad to them doesn't help either. It doesn't kill them. So nothing works, it seems. This is the crowded heart. Things just grow up naturally around you and choke things out, so that there's no fruitfulness for the kingdom of God. I say it grows up naturally around you because you, left to yourself, will allow certain things in, certain activities, certain environments, certain cares. You'll pursue certain things and go after certain things naturally. And it's this natural expression of trying to pursue the things of the world and caring about the things of the world that chokes out any fruitfulness for the kingdom of heaven. And we need to be mindful of this. It's crowded out. The thorns, he says, are the cares of this world. The deceitfulness of riches. In other words, chasing after even riches and the accolades of the world. This is the person, and I think in this culture, many fall into this category. This is the person who's busy. Busy schedules. We have busy schedules, don't we? I know that on my scheduler, there are options for multiple calendars so that I can color code by different calendars. I can have my schedule, then my work schedule, my personal schedule, and then there's my wife's schedule I could keep, and then, you know, my children's, and if I have one for each child, I can just have all the schedules on there because today we need it. We're that busy. This is a person who is that busy. They're so busy with the things of the world that fruitfulness for the kingdom cannot be produced. Their schedules are crowded with things that have nothing to do with spiritual growth or the building of the kingdom of heaven. Very often, they're busy pursuing their own pleasures, activities in the world, and trying to build up for themselves their own kingdom or amass for themselves their own wealth and treasure. It's a miserable life. It's miserable going to church for this group sometimes because they have a foot in the world and they have a foot in the kingdom. And it makes it very difficult because they get beat up by both. They have too much of Jesus to be satisfied with the world. They're not content with Christ alone, the simple things in life, because they have a foot in the world. And yet they have too much of Jesus to be satisfied with the world, too much of the world to be content with Jesus. So you can't win for losing. You go into the world and man, they're sinners, man, but you're after the same things as them. But then you go to church and man, the pastor was hard. Man, the message was, man, he's beating the sheep. And it's like, you can't win for losing, because here's what I found. People who are totally committed to the Lord say that I'm not direct enough. People that I have talked to, pastors who are committed to the Lord, will say, you know, the church needs to be more direct instead of flowery and no, because people aren't getting the hints. So there needs to be some sense of being direct. But here's what happens. A K.P. Yohanan Someone who is totally all in will hear a message that is very direct. And they're thinking, oh, man, that's so good, man. I'm glad somebody's teaching the Bible around here. But many, if they hear a direct message, are like, oh, that's harsh, man. That's a hard message to hear. Give up cable TV. Man, this is a legalistic church. Pastor may not have said anything about giving up cable TV. He just said we need to do away with some of the conveniences that distract us. And, you know, TV mentioned a few list items, but you heard cable. Because here's what happens. In any pack of dogs, when you throw a stone, the dog that yelps was the dog that got hit, right? So that's why we get a little ruffled, because something hit us. We're not worried about the message for our wife. Oh, that's right. Straight up, Pastor. Don't hide anything, man. Pastor, yeah. Talk to her. When she's over here, she's listening. Oh, that's for my husband. Thank you, Lord. And they're listening for each other. But the message isn't for someone else. You're not here. Listen, guys. You're not here by proxy. You're not here to hear a message so you can take it to someone else. Now, we do want to do that. We want to pass it on. But you're here for you. Maybe you're here, you're a one and done person. Someone drugged you here and you're here and you didn't want to be here. But this message is for you. You've got one of these four soils. Is it a hard soil? Are you sown among the thorns? Is there no root system? Say, I love the Jesus stuff. I get excited every year when I go to church. But, you know, but there's just nothing to keep me or sustain me. Well, this could be the condition of your heart. Here's the point of this portion of the parable. Busyness in the world chokes out fruitfulness. When you're too busy in the world, it's no wonder you're not strong enough. It's no wonder you can't produce any of the fruit that God wants to produce in your life. Because the world and the busyness in the world produces it. You got a busy life. And you know what? You may actually have a noble life from the world's standards. You may be succeeding in life because you're going to get it. And so from the world's perspective, look at them. I want what you have, man. You're a go-getter. You're busy. You're going and getting it. But there's no fruit. I want to ask you today, especially those of you who are really busy. I know you're successful. Most of you are. I mean, the go-getters are successful in the world. But let me ask you, in all your busyness, is there fruit being produced in the kingdom of heaven in your life? And when I say fruit, I don't mean your success. Yeah, I'm rich. No, I mean, is the word of God working change in your life? And are people able to come to you and receive nutrition from your life? And is it reproducing itself in the way of other people maybe coming to Christ or maybe coming to church as a result of your life? These are things that we want to look at, lest we think our success means God's blessing. The Pharisees understood that was not the case, or they had the hardened hearts. They didn't understand, but Jesus made it clear that wasn't the case. Just as not having much doesn't mean God is against you. Could be that you don't need much because it's a distraction for you. And the greatest life lived is a simple life. So busyness chokes out the fruitfulness. But verse 23, he who received seed on the good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces some hundredfold, some 60, some 30. This is the receptive heart. They hear the word, and they say, you know, that makes sense. This is the person, and check this out, it happens in church, who the word of God goes out, and rather than just sitting there, good point, Pastor, good point, and there's this constant being engaged with me or their friend or neighbor, it's like, at least for a moment, they turn to the Lord. It hits the heart and they go, Lord, that is true. It hits their heart. And all of a sudden, they're connected with God. That's the fruit. That's the seed. That's the seed that falls on this kind of ground. There's a willingness to connect with God. So many come to church and get great points, hear great messages, great illustrations. They like certain sermon styles. They grade the sermon styles. But they never really meet God. They never really hear the voice of God. And that's what we need more than anything, is to hear the voice of God. That's what the receptive heart does. They hear truth, and they hear truth from the author of truth. It's the man described in Psalm 1. The word of God takes root. He meditates on it. He grows and bears fruit, the fruit being change and repentance. Psalm 1, verses 1 through 3 says, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper." Bears fruit. Some hundredfold, some 60, some 30. The idea is that, you know, some with gifting and God's calling and just the circumstances, the soil around you can be very important. The things that you allow into your life can choke out fruitfulness and effectiveness. But the idea is different people are going to produce different levels of fruit, but it's all good. It's all fruitfulness. Jesus said that there are two ways to build your life. One's on the rock, one's on the sand. And you can't tell the difference in the two homes except when the storms come. That's the only time. When the difficulties, the trials, the persecutions, when those things come, that's the only time you can tell the difference. The home that has truly been built on the solid foundation of God's Word, that home stands. I mean, you get some damage for sure. It's a storm. But it stands. It's unshaken. It doesn't crumble and fall apart. But the home, I might say the life, that is built on a mixture of things. Yeah, there's some truth, but there's a lot of sand to supplement, or just sand completely. It's shown, because when the difficulties come, when the trials come, it's exposed, because it shifts, it sinks, it crumbles, it falls apart. That's the one nice thing about trials. You get to see what people are made of. It's easy to come to church, sound spiritual. It's easy to come to church, get involved, and have everyone thinking you got it all managed well. And as long as you can hide the home life from the church life, you've got everyone convinced. But the trials will come, and the trials will expose you. So we need them. In fact, like I said earlier, the world needs us to experience them. Notice that only 25% of the soils produced fruit. Only 25% of these soils that he mentioned produce fruit. 25% won't hear it at all. I don't receive it. They don't understand it's for them. They're calloused. 50%, the second and third, they grow to some degree, but never produce any fruit. There's one group that it grows, but it dies to be seen no more, withers away. But the other group actually stays. It's there. It's green. It's involved. But it never produces any fruit. No change, nothing given out. Warren Wiersbe said of that type, said, "Unless there is fruit on the tree, it's very likely that there's no saving faith in the heart." Because Jesus said, you will know them by their fruits. There needs to be fruit. Only 25% of these listed were fruitful. Of course, there were varying degrees of that fruitfulness, but it reminds me of something that Jesus said. Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 and 14, he said, "Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it, because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it." Not most find it. Not most will find it, though. Not even many, he did not say many, will find it. I have heard the teaching that said that God is victorious. Grace wins. Love wins out. God is greater. Greater is He who is in you than He who is in the world. And so it only makes sense that more people will be saved. Most people will be saved. The scriptures do not teach that. In fact, they teach the opposite of that. They teach not most find it, not many, but few. Where is your heart today? Where is it? Some are closed, hardened by sin, not willing to receive. And I would say to that group, open up. Open up your heart. Let the Word of God in. If He's convicted you, if He's spoken to your heart, if the stone has hit the dog, so to speak, take it and at least hold on to it. You may not understand it. You may not know exactly how to apply it right now. That's not for you yet. Just hold on to it. And as life plays itself out over the next hour or week or month, God will begin to work that truth into your heart in a way you understand. It will become very real for you. But please don't just disregard God's Word. Some will get all excited about the Word. Yes, Pastor, all right, we need truth. They'll be excited. And who knows, you may be crying, tearing up right now about the truth. Oh, finally, truth. But, or maybe this is your one time of the year that you come and whew, here you are again, you know, budding and blossoming. But it won't last because persecution and trials will come and you'll be gone again. And yet, guys, it's the trials that prove the genuineness of our faith. We're going to have trials. Some are very busy. You have many agendas, trying to keep them all. And that schedule chokes out any fruitfulness in your life. Isaiah said, those who wait on the Lord, those who are still, theirs is the strength that will be renewed. They'll get up, rise up, and run as like they have wings of eagles. They won't grow weary. God created the Sabbath. In fact, He commanded the Sabbath. We've been made very clear the Sabbath is not about a day. So it is not about Saturday. You've got to take off Saturday. The New Testament makes it clear. Paul said that, you know, hey, Saturday's your day, that's fine. Sunday's your day, that's fine. He said, just honor the Lord. Some people say every day is the Sabbath for me. Every day is a day that I try to honor the Lord. So just be convinced in your own mind. But the concept, the command, I think would go out to some in here today. Not to make Saturday or necessarily Sunday that day, but to stop working, stop doing all the stuff you're doing and give God committed time so that the Word of God can sink into your heart and meet those circumstances that you don't have any time to work through. And His Word will come in and start to make sense of life again. And perhaps He's commanding you now, find the time, carve it out. That is my time. Don't let anything in. I don't care if your house, you need a house payment. Who do you trust? Do you trust me? Don't work the extra time. Spend it with me and watch your God provide for you. But He could be saying that to some of you today because there's no fruitfulness. The fruit's being choked out. Then there are those who are listening right now. You hear it, you understand it. God is speaking to your heart. You've contacted, He's contacted you, and roots are being established. God wants to do a work. In verse 9, Jesus said, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." I pray that's you today. If you have ears to hear, then hear.
Deeper and deeper, deeper and deeper, I want to know you more.
In this day and age in which we live, it's easy to get distracted by everything that's going on around us. The hustle and bustle of life tends to keep us from the things that are truly important as followers of Christ. While there's simply no substitute for the personal reading of God's Word, programs like Building on the Solid Rock are a huge blessing that God uses in the discipleship of countless people. Building on the Solid Rock is the radio ministry of Pastor Troy Neely of Calvary Chapel Solid Rock in San Antonio, Texas. For more information about our ministry or to access the archive of messages, log on to our website at www.buildingonthesolidrock.com. You can subscribe to our podcast while you're there or search for us in the iTunes store. Use Calvary Chapel Solid Rock as you search. It's absolutely free. Well, that's all the time we have for today. Thank you for joining us. We invite you to join us again next time as we continue our verse-by-verse study through the Gospel of Matthew. That's next time on Building on the Solid Rock.
Then I look up and see the hand that I turned from when the storm began, and it covers me.